Let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, looking to Jesus, the founder and perfecter of our faith. Moses once said, "I beseech thee, O Lord, show me thy glory." Moses understood life's bottom line, beholding and being part of the glory of God. Today, more teaching on how the Word of God helps us do just that. Stay with us. From the Moody Church in Chicago, this is Running to Win with Dr. Erwin Lutzer, whose clear teaching helps us make it across the finish line. Now, Erwin Lutzer continues a series on being changed by the Word. In this, the fifth of six messages, our focus is on how the Word of God helps us pray.
Pray that prayer of Moses. We won't be hidden in a rock. We won't see a vision. But isn't it important that at the end of the day, the only thing that matters is the glory of God? There is nothing else that matters. God, at Moody Church, in my life, in my family, show me your glory. That's a prayer to pray. You know, sometimes people say, "Oh, I don't know how to pray for missionaries. What are their needs?" I am going to solve that problem for you forever. If you ever wonder what you should pray for the pastoral staff, for me, and I thank God for the hundreds of people who pray for me. And sometimes you don't know. I don't know exactly what Pastor Lutzer needs today. Well, I'll tell you exactly what he needs. You never have to worry about it again. He needs a prayer like this. "For this reason, because of I have heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus, I do not cease to give thanks for you, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give you, here we are, a spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him, having your eyes enlightened, that you might know what is the hope to which God has called you, and what are the riches of the glory of the inheritance of the saints, and the immeasurable greatness of his power toward us who believe." And it goes on to talk about the sovereignty of Jesus, who is above all things. Every single day, I need that. Missionaries need that. You open your Bible and you go to Ephesians chapter 1. Don't do it now, because this is a different kind of message. We're going to be in a lot of different passages. But what you do is you pray scripture. And when you pray that prayer, you don't have to end it by saying, "If it be thy will." This is the will of God. You are praying the mind of God. We pray scripture. We pray scriptural prayers. Well, we could go on, but I must hurry. We pray things like the Psalms and Proverbs. Psalms and Proverbs. Of course, that also is low-hanging fruit, because many of the Psalms are prayers. But you even take a psalm like this, Psalm 23. You read it, you memorize it. By the way, I quote this psalm at least once or twice a day, because if I ever need to nap, I find out that this psalm really does it for me. Don't misinterpret that, but it's just a way of me focusing on God and something other than my anxieties and concerns. But after you know it, you pray it like this: "Father, I thank you that Jesus is my shepherd. Thank you that he's my good shepherd. Thank you, Father, that I have the privilege of being his sheep. Make me an obedient sheep. Lord, thank you for the way in which you supply in my life. You make me to lie down in green pastures. You lead me beside still waters. Thank you for leading me in the path of righteousness and help me to stay on it. And Lord, during those days of darkness and fear, when I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, oh, Father, you're with me. Help me to believe that, and that you'll not allow me to encounter or become part of evil." And all the way through. And you're praying a prayer for yourself, for someone else. You know, and you have somebody who's attacking you. You have any enemies? Have you got people who are not, you're working with, and they are not committed to your personal happiness? Have you got people like that? Why not just pray some of the prayers of David? In you, O Lord, I take refuge. Let me not be brought to shame. In your righteousness, deliver me. Incline your ear to me. Rescue me speedily. Be my rock. Be my refuge. For you're my rock and my fortress. And for your name's sake, you lead me and you guide me. And if you go to verse 5, it says, into your hand I commit my spirit, the words of Jesus on the cross. Even in the midst of all of the criticism that Jesus was getting and the injustice, he was praying this prayer. And at the end, he said, I commit myself to you, believing that God is bigger than the injustice and that God uses the injustice. And so you pray those prayers. You don't just make up prayers on your own. Well, we must hurry along. First of all, what you do is you pray the prayers of Scripture. You pray the Psalms. I was thinking about this. I've never done it. But if I were a father with young children in the home, I'd probably want to pray the entire book of Proverbs just for my children. You know, you say, well, what shall we pray for them? Work your way through Proverbs. Not all of them may be suitable to pray, but most of the Proverbs are Proverbs of wisdom, and that's what we want our children to have. So you pray, and you can pray with them and teach them how to pray Scripture. Third, praying the prophets, praying the Old Testament prophets. This is more difficult, but there are passages, as you're reading Jeremiah, for example, that are so applicable to America. My people have committed two evils. They have forsaken me, the fountain of living water, and hewn out for themselves cisterns, broken cisterns that can hold no water. What an amazing passage of Scripture. And that is simply true of America. You know, when I was talking about praying the prayers of the prayers of Scripture, I forgot to tell you this, and it comes to mind. When I pray for my children, I use different passages of Scripture. Sometimes I may pray the same prayer for them. But this morning, since I happen on Sunday to pray for our oldest grandson, Jack, this is what I prayed for him. I said, Father, I pray that he might abound in love and all discernment. I pray, O Lord God, that he might be able to do that and that he might be pure and blameless until the day of Christ, being filled with the fruit of righteousness, which is by Jesus Christ, unto the glory and the praise of God. Doesn't that trump, oh God, bless Jack? This is Scripture that you are praying. And if you are open to looking at the passages as you read them and making a note of all of the different prayers in the New Testament, you'll begin to pray different prayers. Well, we must hurry on. Praying the Gospels. Praying the Gospels. You can do that too. I mean, if you're reading Mark chapter 1, where the demons were subject to Christ, and even where they affirmed the fact that he was the Son of God, the way in which you turn that into a prayer is you stop and you thank God, you thank Jesus for his absolute total triumph over evil. And you thank him that the demons are subject to him, and you take the miracles that he did and you turn those miracles into miracles of praise and gratitude to God. And pretty soon, you see, when you approach the Scriptures with the intention of saying, how can I pray this back to God? It's amazing how that almost every place you can do that. Now, of course, there are some passages that don't lend themselves at all, really, to prayer. And so what do you do then? Well, it doesn't hurt, you know, for you to simply read those passages to God, because God will be blessed. God will be honored as you read his word to him, because he says, I have magnified my word above my name, or at least equal to my name. But what you're doing is you're always coming to the Scriptures, and the reason that you are coming is because you want to encounter not merely the text, but you want to encounter God. Like that song goes, beyond the sacred page, I see thee, Lord. That's why we read the Bible. See, this is why so many people get turned off, because they think, well, you know, I'm told I should be disciplined, I should be in the Word. And so they look at it as if this is a box I have to check. I read the Bible today. Well, yes, it is. Many of us are listening to all of the New Testament. I listened to about 5 chapters last night and about 7 this morning. I was listening to the Bible on my iPhone, by the way. Just wanted everybody to know that. Just let that float out there. And we're all doing it. And so, you see, we're so preoccupied doing that that we're not spending a whole lot of time. I'm missing my time reading the Word. So I have to find other ways and other times to continue to read the Word so that I can continue to praise Scripture and in that way encounter the Lord God. So what we're always doing is, I like to shock seminary students sometimes and say, you know, the Bible wasn't written to be studied. Look at all the tuition that I just paid. And it's not written to be studied. The Bible was written to transform your life. The means to get there is study. So you didn't waste your money when you put in that money for tuition. It is important, but it's important to get to a goal. The Bible says knowledge puffeth up. If all that you have is, look at all the knowledge that I have, you've missed the whole point. You read the Word, you pray the Word to encounter God.
Did you know, my friend, that some of the Nazis under Hitler knew God's Word? They did. Recently, I read a book in which the chaplain to some of the Nazi criminals said that when he began a passage of Scripture, they could complete it. Now, my reason for mentioning that is the fact that just because you know the Scriptures, that does not mean that you are changed by them. You can memorize the Bible as an intellectual exercise. You can study it, and you can even take pride in how well you know the Scriptures. And yet at home, you can be a very difficult person to live with. You can be very miserable and very unspirit-filled, if I might use that kind of terminology. Unless the Word of God is received into our hearts through submission, through weakness, through a sense of commitment, unless we come with our need, expecting God to meet us, we might not be changed by its power. The reason that I want you to call your friends and invite them to listen to Running to Win is because my desire is that as many people as possible understand how to be changed by God's Word. And I trust that as we get into the Word and we learn to meditate and pray Scripture, that we will better understand the transformation that God intends to make. So let us make sure that the Word of God is given full place in our lives. I like to emphasize that we should get up earlier in the morning. We should meditate in God's Word. I personally begin almost every day by praying before I get out of bed, Lord, today glorify yourself in my life at my expense. The Word of God is what motivates us.
Erwin Lutzer with more of The Word of God Helps Us Pray, the 5th message in a series on being changed by the Word. Next time, why praying the Scriptures back to God may be the best way to pray when we're lost for words. This 6-part series on Changed by the Word can be yours on CD as our way of saying thanks for your gift of any amount to support Running to Win. Just call us at 1-800-215-5001. That's 1-800-215-5001. Online, go to offerrtw.com. That's offerrtw.com. Or write to Running to Win, Moody Church, 1635 North LaSalle Boulevard, Chicago, Illinois, 60614. Running to Win is a ministry of the Moody Church.